Good morning, everyone. Morning. Hi, everyone. Good morning. Vicky did that demonstration in like 10 seconds flat. She made it look so easy. I'm sure she did it for Andrew's benefit. Yeah. Yeah. Is that the most complicated one we've done so far? Right, so this morning we're going to dive into the Bible, as we like to do on Sundays, and we're going to continue in our series, which is in the fruits of the Spirit, while you're busy beaving on your table. The question that Andrew asked at the start about feeling peace in your heart, did you notice that when everyone's eyes were closed, how quiet the room went? It got really quiet, didn't it? There was a few bits of rustling going on, but it was really, really quiet. And often when we hear the word peace, that's the first thing we think of, isn't it? We think of things that are calm. So no one actually said, I sit on the beach with my hands open. Everyone's like, I go watch TV or I sit in my lounge and listen to music or whatever. But often it is that feeling of calm, isn't it, that we think about when we think about peace. We think about things that are still, things that are quiet, particularly in our hearts, if everything's quiet in our hearts. And that often means there's the absence of conflict. And peace is another word to describe the absence of conflict. And you can describe that after, say, a war or a battle or an argument in a relationship where you've actually made peace with each other and there's calm and there's no conflict anymore. And you feel that in your heart. And that's not wrong. Peace does mean these things. But that's not what we're going to look at this morning. Peace is something that we experience. But in the Bible, peace doesn't start with feelings. It flows from something deeper. But if peace was only a feeling, it would really quickly disappear when your stress levels rise, when a conflict does come up in a relationship, or when life speeds up. And maybe you think life occasionally looks a bit like this. It's busy, there's stuff going on, you know, you've got work, you've got kids, you've got money, you've got all sorts of things in your life, and life can feel really hectic. And that's why peace often feels a bit fragile. It feels temporary, doesn't it, in our hearts. So what kind of peace holds when life doesn't calm down? Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. So we're not going to look at Galatians 5, because there is just one word in there. We're actually going to look at Philippians. So if you've got your Bibles, you open your Bibles to Philippians, we're going to look at chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. The words will come up. Is that up to me? Yep. So do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this is a really good example of how peace is not dictated by our circumstances. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church when he was in prison, which is, you know, probably the place that you would think of is the furthest away from somewhere that is peaceful. I did a little bit of research into why he was in prison. It was likely he was in prison in Rome, but he actually caused a conflict, they believe, because he invited Gentiles into the temple, and that was forbidden. And so it got escalated to the Jewish authorities, then to the Roman authorities, and then he got arrested and put into prison. So think about what he was going through in prison, a place where there was no freedom, a place where there was no certainty. He had no control over his circumstances. Yet Paul is speaking confidently about peace guarding our hearts and our minds. So how does someone who's locked up in jail, locked up in prison, potentially in chains, because the Romans were notorious for not treating their prisoners very well. So how does someone in chains talk about peace like that? So that's what we're going to look at this morning over the next few minutes. So we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at what peace is, and we're going to look at what peace does. So what peace is? So in Galatians 5, we know that peace is a fruit. So peace is not something that we create. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's produced in us. It's a fruit that isn't created by our own control, our own effort. It's impossible for us to produce. It's produced by the Holy Spirit in us as we stay close to Jesus. So it grows naturally in us. And it is far deeper than calm feelings. As we read in that scripture, it surpasses all understanding. We can't understand it. It's part of the mystery of that relationship we have with our God. And it will guard our hearts and our minds. It will shape how we think. It will shape how we act. It will shape how we speak. But biblical peace is, and we talked about the absence of conflict, but biblical peace is more than the absence of conflict. And whether that's calmness in our hearts or whether that's conflict with relationships. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And shalom means a wholeness. It means a completeness. It means things that are, you know, nothing missing. And shalom can refer to a stone with no cracks, like a perfect stone. If you read in Joshua 8, it talks about a stone with no cracks, and that's shalom. But shalom can also refer to a wall that has no gaps or missing bricks. So a perfect wall can be described as shalom because it's whole, it's complete. And it can mean something that is complex, but in a state of completeness. So be it a brick or a wall, it's made up of lots of pieces, but they come together to make a whole. And life is a bit like that. Life can be like a complex series of pieces that work together, a bit like Lego builds. So this is the most complicated Lego build you can have. This is the Eiffel Tower. It's 10,000 bricks. So there's a lot of pieces that need to fit together. And life can be a bit like this. Like to get a complete structure, you've got to have every single piece. But when pieces are missing or they're broken, peace breaks down. And if peace breaks down, life is no longer whole. And God is there to restore that. Life needs to be restored. So to bring peace is to restore what's missing. And there are really good examples in Scripture about how you make peace to restore what's broken. So in Exodus 22, verse 5, it can mean repaying loss. Like if you own some animals and your neighbor's farmland or hedges or something gets destroyed, you have to make amends. So you make peace by repaying any lost revenue or damage to somebody's property. It can also mean healing relationships, as it says in Proverbs 16, verse 7. You make peace by healing a broken relationship. You apologize. You make peace with someone. You avoid the conflict. And in the Bible, there are other examples where enemies fight together, but then they make peace with each other. But they don't just agree not to fight. They actually actively work together to make peace. They build on it. So peace is active. It's not passive. Peace is not pretending that things are fine. It's about God making things whole again, making things complete. So that's what peace is. It's what biblical peace is. So let's look at what peace does. In the New Testament, the Greek word for peace is eirene. And that means it's Jesus is the promise Jesus is God's promise of peace. And Isaiah foretold this in Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7. And he told that a prince of peace would come. Now, the kings of Israel were meant to bring peace. They were given the task of bringing peace and making things complete and whole, but they couldn't do it. So God sent Jesus to bring peace to us. And the angels announced the arrival of peace at Jesus' birth in Luke 2:14. And then Jesus, during his ministry, says, "My peace I give to you." I think Andrew mentioned that earlier, from John 14:27. And later, as the church begins to grow, Paul says that Jesus himself is our peace in Ephesians 2:14. So we don't just receive peace from the Holy Spirit. We receive a person. A relationship with Jesus means we know that he's restored our relationship with God. That's what Jesus came to do. So peace is impossible for us to grow. It's impossible for us to create. It's impossible for us to control. It is grown in us through the Holy Spirit. But it's not meant to stay private. It isn't something that's just for our benefit. Jesus calls us peacemakers. And so we are meant to use the peace that God gives us to restore what's broken in our relationships and in our world. So peace doesn't mean stepping into situations and avoiding conflict. Peace requires humility and it requires patience. It requires bearing with one another in love, as it says in Ephesians 4. And Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He stepped into the ultimate conflict at the cross. And he reconciled all things to himself by his blood on the cross, as it says in Colossians 1:20. And so because of what Jesus has done, he invites us to participate in his reconciling work. He invites us to be peacemakers and to step into conflict, to step into situations in the relationships that we know and in our world. So being a peacemaker isn't weak. Seeking peace isn't weak. It's brave and it takes courage. So where do you need peace right now? What is broken that Jesus wants to restore in your life? Maybe it's relationships not between you and somebody. Maybe there's relationships in your family or relationships in your workplace. But we can experience that peace and we can be active in peacemaking because the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. We can let the Holy Spirit grow his fruit. So peace doesn't come from feeling calm or a quieter life or being still and just receiving it in our own hearts. It comes from being rooted with Jesus, a deep root in our hearts that enables us to be courageous, to be brave, to step into situations and be a peacemaker. So I'd like to invite us to respond. If you'd like to stand to your feet, I'd like us to pray together. And maybe where you are, just close your eyes and maybe open your hands. Jesus, we thank you. You did not stand at a distance. You stepped into our lives. You saw our conflict, our sin, our striving, our fears, and you chose the cross. Jesus, we thank you that you've made peace with God possible. Thank you that through your blood we are forgiven. We are welcomed. And we're brought near. Jesus, you are our peace. We thank you that peace is not something we have to manufacture or try and control. It's something you have already made. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you do not leave us alone. You come and live within us. And you grow your fruit in us. And you form your character in us. And so we ask, grow peace in us. Not fragile peace, not fake peace, but deep-rooted peace. Is there a relationship that you're worried about, that you're thinking about? Is there a worry that you're carrying? Is there someone you're inviting us to take a step forward and be a peacemaker? Is there someone we need to forgive or someone we need to ask forgiveness from? Jesus, make us a church of peacemakers in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our friendships. Where there's tension, help us to bring gentleness. Where there's misunderstanding, help us to bring patience. And where there's division, help us to bring shalom. Your wholeness, your restoration, your life. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. And so we ask you to grow that peace in us so that the world around us can see what you are like. Amen. Right, let him. I think Andrew's going to. Invite Robin and Hannah up, and we're going to sing a song also in response.